The theme this year, as you can see up here, is servants who fear the Lord. So we're going to talk today about what does it mean to fear God. When I ask you that question, what are the thoughts that are conjured up in your mind when you think of fearing God? And I want to go back to the verse that was referenced earlier, Psalms 115, 13 through 15. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed with the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, I know many of you have experienced fear. I've been in many fearful situations. You guys have been in many fearful situations. I can tell you a couple that two that I'm going to share with you. One of them was I got invited to go hunting. Do we have a lot of hunters out here? I got invited to go hunting in the woods of Pennsylvania. I had never been in this area, didn't know the area at all, and a couple guys said, come with us, we'll have a great time, we'll go shoot some deer, and we'll provide some food for the family. So I thought, great deal, I'm all in. The way that they do it, though, is a whole different way than I thought that you hunt deer. I thought you kind of sit in the blind and you kind of wait for you ambush the deer as it comes through, and that's how you do it. Well, in Pennsylvania, they do what they call driving deer. And what they do is they have two standers, and these guys are just standing there waiting for the people to push the deer to them, and they're actually the shooters. And they shoot the deer as they come, shoot a deer as they come through, not multiple deer. So I was one of the drivers. So the drivers start way back here, and they push the deer to the guys that are the shooters or the standers, and then we kind of flip-flop, take our turns. So again, I'm in the woods. I've never been there before, don't know the woods at all. And, we're kind of making noise. The guys that are pushing the deer are kind of making noise, trying to let everybody know that, hey, you know, we're coming through and then pushing the deer forward. So I'm on the very end, on the left-hand side of this drive, and there's like four of us. So I'm here, another guy, another guy, another guy. And we're just kind of pushing through, and we get further. We are spread apart pretty good because we want to make sure that we get as many deer in this kind of envelope as we can. So I'm pushing forward. They're pushing forward, kind of yelling a little bit. And it's getting, as I'm going, it's getting a little more distant. I thought, where's the other guy? And then all of a sudden, I realize I can't hear him. And I'm in the middle of thousands of acres of woods. I can't hear a soul. I don't know where I'm at. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm all alone. And there is a fear that encompasses you that like I've never experienced. It's like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I have nowhere to go. I don't know which way to turn right or left or back or forward. What do I do? And I felt helpless. And it was like the fear just engulfed me. And I said, okay, Lord, this is all on you. I got nothing. I have absolutely nothing. I don't know what to do. And so I know that what happens, because I've read hunting books, is what you do is you start heading in a direction, you start doing circles. You don't even know you're doing circles, but you start doing circles. So I thought, I can't do that. I've got to make sure that I am moving in a direction that's going to take me somewhere. And I said, Lord, you're just going to have to guide me because I absolutely have nowhere to go. So I start walking, and I walk, and I walk, and I walk, and I finally come to an old logging road. And I said, Lord, which way, left or right? I don't know, because again, nobody's around me, and it's starting to get towards dusk, and this is really getting me scared because nobody knows where I'm at. And so I take this logging road, and I'm walking, 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 and finally I come up to one of the vehicles that we started out with. And it was the guys were there. They're saying, we looked all over for you. We had no idea where you're at. And so the Lord just took me there because I can tell you that I had nothing. Another situation that I was in that was pretty fearful, I took a group of students, ABC students, down to Africa. And I had an accident while there. We were building a zip line. Long story short, zip line collapsed. I had three broken ribs and a severe concussion, and I'm flying back. We made it. We flew from Cape Town to Johannesburg. We get to Johannesburg, and they said, you know what, by the way, your flight, the one flight from Johannesburg to Atlanta, it's full and you can't get on it, you're stuck. So I have two girls, three guys, and myself, and I have not taken any pain medication with three broken ribs and a concussion because I didn't want to feel loopy or anything, and I wanted to be in control of how things were going to go if I could, and found out that there wasn't going to be a flight that day. So I said, I just told the guy there, when he told me that, I said, well, I guess we'll just sleep in the airport. He said, no, you don't understand. This is one of the most dangerous airports in all the world. And he said, they have roving gangs around here. And he said, I don't know if you'll last the night. And so that was really comforting. So I thought, okay, now what do we do? So the guy that I was talking to was a baggage handler. He said, let me check and see if I can find a motel for you. So he goes and he comes back. He said, man, I can't find anything. But he said, there's one more option. So he checked that option, came back, and said, I got one for you. So there had been a convention in Johannesburg, so all the motels were gone, supposedly. So I get in the van. I get in the van with this guy that I've never met before, and I have my five students with me. There were three other gentlemen that were in the van. So we drive about 15 minutes and come to this motel, and I'm looking at it thinking, this is pretty sweet. This isn't a bad motel. Well, those three guys get out, and I start getting out, and the driver's like, you know, he doesn't speak English. I don't speak whatever he speaks. And so he pointed to get back in the van. So we get back in the van and thinking, now what do we do? Well, we drove another half an hour to Timbuktu. I have no idea where we're even at to this day. Drove us to this flea bag motel, and we walk in, and there's two African guys that were there. I walk in with my girls and my guys, and I thought, this could really be a dicey situation. And I told the girls, I said, if I'm in fear for your safety, we are all staying in the same room. We'll all go down together. So anyway, for some reason, again, my mind wasn't really as clear as it could have been because I have this severe concussion going on. They had card readers, and you could, you know, I thought, man, that's modern. That's really modern thing. So they can't get into the rooms of the girls or the guys, whatever. So I thought, we're safe. We know each one has a room. So the girls had a room. We had a room. And I can tell you that during the night, I didn't sleep a lot because, again, the pain stuff was going on. But there were gunshots going off. There was all crazy stuff going on. And I thought, you know what? Nobody in this world knows where we're at. Nobody has a clue that we got stuck in Johannesburg and that we are off in some village somewhere that I don't even know where we're at. And I thought, what if the guy that drove the van doesn't come back? Again, no one knows where we're at. And so I said, Lord, you know, you've always taken care of me. I'm praying that you do the same thing here because I have got literally nothing. And, you know, fortunately, the guy came back, took us to the airport, and long story short, we obviously made it back. But those are some pretty fearful situations that I went through. So is fear a bad thing? Is fear a bad thing? You know, I think in my situation, it created a total dependence on the Lord because I had absolutely nothing. Now, some of you may have had similar stories. You know, we calculate in milliseconds how we're going to respond to things. Now, when the Bible talks about, it says, do not fear, it's referencing panic or terror, natural fear. That's related to like disasters, pandemics, losses, violence, political upheavals, that's called natural fear. But today we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. So there's four different kinds of fear. We're going to get to that eventually here, but I want to talk about the fear of the Lord is a restraining influence on our lives for believers. Our culture describes God a God of love. But we must not forget, he's also described as holy long before that. His loving nature was revealed in Scripture. God's love is both nurturing and corrective, albeit most focused solely upon his nurturing side. We always hear God is love, but you know there's a very corrective side to God as well. Scripture discloses many benefits for having a reverential fear of God and being receptive to his chastisement. I've had a couple of our guys that are going to read a verse for us, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And whoever has Psalms 11:10, if you'd stand up and read it loudly. Do you have anybody that has that? Okay. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? And we know, you can see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Who's got that? Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord lengthens life. Proverbs 10:27.
Fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
Okay. The fear of the Lord lengthens life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27.
The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death.
Okay. The fear of the Lord offers security. Proverbs 14:26.
In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge.
Okay. And the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, all the earth. Psalms 33:8.
Let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
Okay, so we're hearing a lot about fear. We're going to talk a little bit more in related to how many times it's used in the Bible, as well as its references there. But I wanted to bring to you the next, we have a couple different quotes from some people that you, I'm sure you've heard from before. And this is interesting what they had to say about fear. D.L. Moody, the fear is to have more faith in your antagonist than in Christ. Okay, Benjamin Franklin, fear God and your enemies will fear you. David Livingston, fear God and work hard. Oswald Chambers, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. The Bible uses the word fear 300 times in reference to God, so the importance of fear cannot be minimized. Also mentioned are many references to people in the Bible that experience the fear of God. Okay, in Genesis 42:18, and Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. In Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men child alive. Exodus 9:29-31, Pharaoh brought disaster on his land because he did not fear God. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul tells us to work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleave ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness in fear of God. Now, we see that there's four types of fear that are mentioned in the Bible. The very first one is the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is translated awe. We are to have a holy fear of God that he sees all and our desire to please him. And all our desire is to please him. Knowing that he knows all gives us a healthy awe to do the right thing even when no one else is looking. Okay, fear of man. We fear what others think. How many of you fear what others think? You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you fear what others think? We fear what others think. Because and what we say, what they may say or do to us. Jesus told us not to worry about what to say before kings and judges. He will give us the right words to say at the right time. Jesus told us, parents will betray children, children will betray parents, brother betray brother, sister betray sister. But we are told that the fear of God, to fear God the most. He is the one that can put our souls in hell. Matthew 10:28. The third one is fear of self. Our insecurities, weakness, feelings of inadequacy, wrong thinking about ourselves, feeling of failure. This fear can capture our attention to the degree that it renders us incapable to move forward in our lives. And the fear of danger. When faced by a threat of any kind, fight or flight, this is a God-given human emotion that helps us respond to immediate threats. Christ even faced fears of apprehension in the garden recorded in the Gospels. So we've talked a lot about fear here. There's four different types of fear in the Bible. But we have, you know, we have consolation, solace in knowing that we have a great God and that God is there for us. In Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to no man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Philippians 2:12-13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, the fear of the Lord, it should cause you to make sacrifices in your life for the Lord's will that may be quite difficult at times. But God will ask you to do so, knowing that he has a plan for your blessing and not harm. You know, I think that we have to have the perspective that God loves us. He is in our corner. He is there for us. He wants us to be successful and to succeed and to be more Christ-like in all that we do. But fear also prevents you from succumbing to peer pressure and sinning. Fear of the Lord will also cause you to run from and discard evil options. If we truly fear the Lord, there's a lot of things that come into our lives that we should think about and say, Lord, will that be a benefit to my life, or will it be a detraction from my life, and will it honor you in what I'm doing? So my question for you guys is, do you have a sense of godliness? Do you have a sense of fear? Is God working in your life towards holiness? Are you desiring to be holy? I know as a college student, you're busy with academics, you're busy with your social life, all those kind of things, but are you truly striving for holiness? Are you truly sorry for your sins against the holy God? Are you truly repentant to the Lord for those things that come into your life that you know you need to confess to him? Understanding God's holiness should make us fear him with awe and reverence.